Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Nida Daf Lamed Vav. We begin four lines from the top of the Amud Toshma. Here's a Braisa, which will present a Kasha onto Levi, and a Raya, a proof to Rav. Rav, who told us yesterday, Mayon Echadu, the Dam that presents itself when the Isha is experiencing the Yimei Tuma after birth, is the same exact Dam. Physiologically, it's the same exact material as the Dam that presents itself during the Yimei Tahara, which is Tahar. It's all the same thing. It's just that the Torah labels this as Tameh and this as Tahar. Right? So it's about the timing. It's not about the actual material. Whereas Levi says, no, Shnei Mayonisein. They're coming from different sources, different triggers. During Yimei Tuma, the Dam is triggered from one source, and then that sort of shuts down, and the new wellspring opens up and produces Yimei Dam Tahara. And likewise, when she finishes, she completes the full count of, let's say, 80 days after the Nekev was born, she transitions back to regular life, in which case the Dam Tahara stops, and there goes the Dam Tuma going forward. But this Braisa will seem to be inconsistent with this idea of the double source. Toshma, Yimei Bura, Oilam Lo Limei Nukusa. This relates back to the Afyud we discussed, although in a regular situation, a regular woman has the Aloha Meis Leis. If she presents Dam now, we say, well, maybe it was there for a while without being noticed. So we are Matami going back for 24 hours or until the most recent examination, whichever time frame is shorter. This applies to ordinary women, but not to a woman who's not expected to have Dam, such as an Isha who's nursing, a woman who's expecting. Rabisi adds another condition, provided it was a three-month cessation, three periods, three times 30 days, with no Dam, so that in conjunction with her status, with her nursing and her expecting, allows us to assume that although it was done right now, surprise, surprise, but it wasn't really something expected, something anticipated, in which case we say, okay, she's telling me going forward, but not going back in time. The Braisa adds another twist. Although we need a three-month cessation, but the 3 months need not be consecutive within just the Ibor, or within just the time of nursing. You can share resources. Suppose she had 1.5 months of cessation when she was nursing, and then she became expectant and completed the 3 months during that time. That's okay, because bottom line, whether she's Muberis or Meinika, either way, they're just different reasons. The point is she's not expected to have Dam in conjunction with the actual 3 month cessation. She gets her exemption. Or in the reverse, let's say she began the 3 months when she was expecting, and then she gave birth and she's nursing now, and she completes the 3 month tally. That also works. Tashma, Meibura. So part of those 3 months occur during the expectancy period. Oilam law, they could be added and used to complete the 3 months which had begun, the Mim Nekusa, when she began as a nursing mother, and vice versa. Mim Nekusa, Oilam law, Mim Bur, Ketzad. The Braisa plays it out. Hifsika, Shtaim, she had a 2 month cessation. Mei Bur, when she was expecting. Vachas, Mei Nekusa, she completed the 3rd month when she was nursing. So evidently she gave birth in between, and now she's nursing. And she has the 3rd month when she's nursing. Or the opposite, Shtai b'meimi nekusa, 2 months out of 3 were when she was nursing, v'achas maybe ibur, and then she became expectant, she had the 3rd month of cessation during ibur. Or 1.5 and 1.5. Achas omechza over here, maybe ibur, v'achas omechza over there, maybe nekusa, oin lol gimu oinois. They can be tallied for the, required 3 month total. End quote. Now, how does this present with respect to our question of Rav and Levi? Mishlemi l'Rav, Domer Mayin Echadu. So, in the case where she began as an expectant mother, and she gives birth, and she observes another, month or two, whatever it is, to complete the 3 months while nursing, we say, okay, she has her 3 months. Daya Sha'ato, going forward, if she has an Edam, we just limited the concern to the moment going forward, not to the, you know, previous meislays. But the question is, why does she even need to have an actual cessation post-birth? What's wrong with Adam? The fact is, the dam that's happening now is dam tor. Right? After she gives birth and she has the, let's say it's an akeva, 2 weeks of dam tuma, but after which follows dam tahara. This dam tahara is a non-factor. It's a non-player. Because there is no dam tuma. It's a different dam, according to Levi. So why does she have to actually be dam free? This dam is not tuma. So basically, even if she has dam, but if it's dam tahara, let it count towards the 3 months of cessation of dam tuma. Mishlam is Rav. So according to Rav, it's understood. He says the Amar Mayan Echadu. It's all one and the same thing. So if it's Mayan Echadu, Mishemachi by Yevsek Shalish Oynes, that would explain. And now a case. She has to actually be dam free for 3 months, because if she sees anything, that's not considered cessation, because it's really the same dam as always. Elul Levi, Dama Shnei Mayonis, I'm going to Levi. That is a switch. The train switches tracks. Dam Tami comes from one source, and Dam Tar from a different source. So now she began observing the 3 month cessation when she was expecting, and she gives birth. And now she's past her Yimei Tumma. So now what happens? That wellspring shuts down, dries up. Any Dam going forward is Dam Tahara. It's like a nosebleed, Rashi says. It's coming from her nose. Who cares about this dam? Why do you have to complete 3 months of cessation? As long as she stops for as a slight pause, which would indicate that the source of dam tummy had stopped. Once that confirmed, going forward, there's no dam tumma. So even if there is dam, it's dam tahara, it's different material. In which case, we could just keep on counting it towards the 3 months, even if there is dam, because it's dam tahara. Hachi kamer. It's exactly what the Braisa means to say. Tzricha shetipsek mashu. She needs to have experienced a slight pause after Yimei Tumah to confirm that, in fact, she switched over, or she switched out of Yimei Tumah. This way the days going forward can be counted towards the 3 months that are required to give it an exemption of the meislays. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have the woman who's endeavoring to have a 3 month dam free record, and that can happen by way of consecutive months or combined months. But according to Levi, when she's having Yimei Tahara, those days can count towards the 3 months, even if there is dam, because it's dam tahara. Toshmai comes another kasha. This time, it's going to be a kasha on Rav, and a riot to Levi, who says Shnei Mayon, Toshma Vishavim. So although we have this big machlekes back on the base, and Isha discovers dam, is she only tummy going forward, or tummy going back 24 hours until the last inspection? But all agree with Shavin. Baroya achar dam toyar. Shadaya shot. I'll give you a case where the concern is limited to the time of discovery. Baroya achar dam toyar. She gave birth. She completed the 80 days of the Metahara. And now she's nursing, presumed to be dam free. Any dam she sees then, daya shato, concerned about that moment going forward. Because she's not liable to see dam, she's not prone to dam. It's a surprise, it's limited to going forward. Okay. Bishlam Levi Damashnei Mayanos Sein, so according to Levi, this works very well. He says that the Dam Tor that she had experienced for the last, 66 days is coming from a different source. So it doesn't impact her standing now. What she sees now after she transitioned out of the Metara is a brand new experience, which hasn't happened for ages. Of course, consider a surprise, one-off, Dayashata, concerned only from that moment going forward. Shemachah Dayashata, that explains why the concern is limited to the moment of the discovery. Because unlike a regular woman who's prone to see Dam, here it's an exception, it's an unusual phenomenon. Therefore, we say, Dayashat. Elul Rav Dama Mayan Echad, we're going to Rav, who says, all Dam comes from the same source. Including the Dam Tahara, which he had been seeing until recently. So, there's nothing unusual about this Dam, which is surfacing after she's done Yimei Tahara. It's old news! It's been going on for weeks and weeks and months. Why do we say Dayashata? Why is she different than a regular Isha? To Tame Meis Leis. We should apply the standard Meis Leis to this woman as well. You're right, the Lekashahus. Practically. There is no Meis Leis to go back because she saw the Dam right after she left the 80 days. That night, 5 hours later. In which case you can't be Matame her the previous 24 hours, because you're going to be running into the 80 days of Yimei Tahara where there's no Tumma. But the time Pekidah, okay, so you can't go back 24 hours, but Mitame her, let's say she examined herself the night post 80, when she finished the 80 days, and now 5 hours later she sees Dam, let her be Tumma to that, back to that examination. So you're not interfering with the 80 days. Kivan Meis Leis Leka. The answer is it's one package deal. Chacham made a gzera. Isha discovers Dam. Go back to the shortest time frame, either most recent examination or 24 hours. And it's one package. It's one with the other. If you can't have one element, like in this case, you can't go back 24 hours because you're going to be metameh her into the 80 days, which you can. So likewise, we suspend the whole gzera completely. Toshmai comes another. Right from a brisa. This time it's a raya to Rav and a kashan Levi who says, "Shnei mayonos toshma yoledes bezoyif she sofra v'leitavla." So this woman gave birth when she was already a zava, and now she has to do two things to check off her list. She has to observe the yimei tumas leida, so the 2 weeks of the nekeva, right? If it was a nekeva, and she has to also have 7 clean days shivanekim on account of the ziva. And what happened? Yoledes bezoyif she sofra. She observed the 7 clean days. Lo tavla, but she hadn't yet immersed in the mikvah. Now she has dam v'raso. What's the status of that dam? Now the isha herself as a person is still tamei, but what's the status of this dam? Is it considered dam nida or not? So this is a big machlokes. We discussed this a couple of days ago. Holchu beisham l'shitasim, ubeisil l'shitasim, beisham beisil follow their respective opinions. Regarding the Dam of Yoledes Shalei Tavlok, we discussed back in Lamed Daled, and according to Beis Hillel, it's completely Dam Nida, Dam Ziva, because she hadn't yet been Tavel. So the Dam is still Tamei, despite having counted the days and all that. Mishlem of the Rav. Now, according to Rav, Damur says Mayin Echatu, that the Dam, Tumah, Dam Tahara, it's all one and the same thing. That explains why in this case the Dam that the Isha is experiencing is considered like Dam Nida, despite the fact that she's already within the Yimei Tahara. That's irrelevant, because until she's Tevel, the Dam doesn't change statuses, because it's always the same Dam. It's just that Torah gives it a new status. For that you need Tevila, which she didn't do. Elo Levi, that was named by Yonasan, according to Levi, a Dam Tahara is from a different source, a different entity. Amay Matam Lach V'Yavash, why is this Dam that she's seeing now, after having gone through the Shiva Nekim, and having gone through the Yimei Leida, now she's finally Yimei Tahara, why is this Dam considered Dam Nida? I understand she wasn't Tevel, and she's still Tamei, but the Dam is different Dam. Oh, Malach Levi, you're right. This price certainly supports your view, But I have a different brisa, which we discussed yesterday. No, I'm going to be following the other Tana, Ketana Deshavin, the brisa, which began with the word Deshavin, which actually confirmed my approach, that in fact, it's two Mayonis. Ibois Ema, an alternate resolution to this question can be like this, B'shefas. That although Levi maintains that the Dam Tahara is different material, that's only when there was a break, there was a pause, which indicates a switch of tracks. But when it's shefas, when it's continuous flow, starting from the Yimei Tumah into the Yimei Tahara, all agree, even Levi agrees. Evidently, this is not new blood, and still Tumah. But how could you say that there was a continuous flow when the Brisa speaks about her having observed 7 clean days, Dam free? Evidently, there was a pause, a pretty significant 7-day pause, for Safra Katani. The answer is like this. Sure, she counted, but she counted before she had the Tumah of Leda. You can do that. Basically, like we explained, she has to check off 2 boxes on her checklist. I have to observe the Shivas, the Kim for the Ziva, and I have to also observe 2 weeks of Yimei Tumah for the Leda. Now, who says which one can go first? I can do the Yimei Sphere of a Ziva first and then over to the Yimei Leda. That's what happened over here. And during the second week, there was Dam. And that Dam carried on into the third week, into the Yimei Tahara, as we explained. We're speaking about a woman gave birth to a Nekeva, for instance. She was a Zava at the time as well. The Shavuot come on. So week one, Pask, she had no Dam. Check off. Shiva Nekim, done. Despite it being post-birth, it can be counted towards Shiva Nekim if there's no Dam. So it's sort of, we're sort of double applying these days. On the one hand, it's considered Yimei Tumah, and counting as week one of the 2 week Yimei Tumah of the Leda. Number two, it can be counted towards the Shiva Nekim of the Ziva. So it has a double function. And rather the second week, Shavuot Basra, she had Lo Pasko. There was no cessation, meaning she had Dam. During the 7 days of that second week, and that Dam continued on to the third week, into the Yimei Tahara. Okay, so that explains why we can still consider it Tame, because even Levi, who says it's two Mayonis, not here when it was an uninterrupted flow from the Yimei Tumah to today. Because Savar, now the Tana of this Brisa holds, that you could do it this way. Yimei Leidos, the days following a birth, even though they're considered Yimei Tumas Leida, but She'ein Roy Bahen, if she happens not to have Dam there, they can be applied towards Shiva Nekim and accommodate the Shiva Nekim of a Ziva. Oilin, they can be counted love for her, Lesfiros, Zivas. Okay, so what's the conclusion? Mayan Echon, Shne Mayanis. Omar Le Ravina Ravashi, Omar Lanav, Shemen Min Sichra, Shemen from the town of Sichra told us, Ikla Mazutra, Mazutra happened to visit our town, Astrin, Vidarsh, and he taught us as follows. We're always going to be strict, always going to be machmer, whichever way it goes. Hilchasak Abseid Rav L'chumra, we follow Rav's opinion, that it's one and the same Ma'ayon, if that generates a Chumra. For instance, if the Dam had begun when she was Yimei Tahara and continued on to the Yimei Tumah which followed the Yimei Tahara, according to Rav, that Dam is now Tumah. It's all about timing. Now she's Yimei Tumah, despite the flow having begun in Yimei Tahara. That's irrelevant, according to Rav. When the time changes, the status changes. So in this matter, we follow Rav's opinion, L'chumra, and V'hilchasukam say Levi L'chumra. We also adopt Levi's opinion, if that generates a Chumra. For instance, if the flow had begun when she was Tamei and continued into the Yimei Tahara. In this case, according to Rav, should be Tahara because it's all about timing. She's now in Yimei Tahara, but according to Levi, no. It's only considered a true transition if it appears like new Dam, but here it's a continuous flow. Apparently the train is still on that Tumah track, and she's stopping. Okay, so according to this position, we're going to adopt an element of Rav and an element of Levi to generate Chumrah on either side of the equation. So we're sort of like not sure about it, the Suffolk, and we go to Chumrah. Rav Ashi, Amar, no. Hilchak, Sikav, say the Rav, Ben Lekul, Ben Lechum. We know with absoluteness that we pass like Rav, it's one mind, whether it generates a Chumrah or Kula. And likewise, Doris Mareimar. Hilchos Lekav Seid the Rav in Kol Chumra, and that's the Halacha L'Mais. Hilchos Lekav Seid the Rav. That we say Mayon Echadu Bein Lekulo Bein Lechum. We turn to says the Mishnah. Amakasha Nida. So here we're talking about an issue who's Maksha Leilid. She's having birth pangs in anticipation of the great event, and it's accompanied by dam. Halacha is we'll see in the Gemara. Since this dam is not your routinely generated, self-generated dam, it's sort of being triggered by an external event, by some force that's being imposed on her, so to speak, the upcoming birth, it doesn't make her tummy. But that's limited to the ziva. Meaning, if she's seeing dam when she would be prone to being a zava during that time of the month, that she can be a zava, if it's on account of the upcoming birth, and we see indicators of such that it's sort of leading to the birth without much of a pause in between, then we relate it to the birth and she's tar. But if it's during the nida time frame of the month, Alokha the Venetian sees dam, she's tar for the next 7 days as a nida, and then follow 11 days where she could become a zava, she sees only 1 day, she has to be tar the next day only, she sees 2 days in a row, she has to be tar for 7 days, right? So those are Yimei Ziva. During the Yimei Ziva, if she's a Makasha Leilad, that exempts her from Tumah. But if it's in the Nida time of the month, Hamaksha, she's a Nida. It doesn't exempt her in any way. Okay, so how do we play this out? Kasha Sashleshi Yamin. She had Kishi, so Kishi again means birth pangs accompanied by Dam. And it occurred for 3 days in a row. Shleshi Yamin. Besoich Yudam Dalafya. During the 11 days where she could become a Zava. But now let's say things quieted down for 24 hours. Field, and then a birth followed. In this case, she gets no exemption because the break in the action made for a disconnect between the previous dam and the upcoming birth. So she only gets that exemption if it's clearly connected, if it sort of leads into it. But if there's a significant pause, it can no longer be attributed to the birth, and she's considered as Zava, Divir of Lezer. Rabbi Shua takes a slightly different approach to the timing. He said, Rabbi Shua emerged Laila V'yayim. It's not about 24 hours, it's about a full night and day unit, in that order, night followed by day, of a break in the action. And just to remember, Kalele Shabbos V'yayim, it's like a Shabbos, which starts at night and concludes the following night. So it's a night followed by a day. What happened during this break in the action? Sheshafsam Natsar. There was no pangs. Even though there was still dam. That's irrelevant. The fact is, no pangs. Makes for a disconnect. Blame it on dam. Kamei Kishuyo. This Kishuy exemption, this discount, how far back can we go? How far in advance of the birth can you attribute it to the birth? Kamei Kishuyo. May Oimer. Forever, I feel like 40-50 days in advance, Rabbi Yehuda. Suffice to say the month, the ninth month, but anything before the ninth month, too far back. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, 2 weeks max. And Kishu Yehuda Mishneh Shteisha Basis. Now back to the beginning of the Mishnah, first line, Amakasha Nida. What does that mean? Atu Kol Amakasha Nida? Every Maksha is automatically a Nida. What does that mean? If it's during Yimei Ziva, then it's not Nida. Atu kol hamaksha nida, amar Rav nida liyayma. What the Mishnah meant to say is that even though she's during Yimei Ziva, where maksha is a discounter, is a exemption provider, but midrabbanan, we tell them to keep away. Husband and wife have to keep away during that day. Some parshim explain. The rabbinic concern is perhaps she'll have a cessation of pangs, and that will make for a disconnect, in which case, retroactively, she'll be labeled as tummy, so don't take a chance, wait it out a little bit. Ushmuel Omar Chayshina Shema Tishpe. Shmuel says, actually, Midrabbana, they have to abstain today when she sold the dam, even tomorrow, just like a Zava, a small time Zava, who has one experience, has to wait an extra day of cleanliness. Here too, for that reason, because maybe this lead into birth will turn out to be, false labor. In which case, this whole dam is really dam maziva, and she's telling me, don't take a chance, wait it out. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, no way, amakshei naklum. Absolutely no restrictions. She knows she's expecting a birth. Most women just you know, the birth pangs, the chevelet leida, indicative of a birth, and it's not going to be a break, there's not going to be a cessation, it's just going to lead into the event. We can assume so, and she's safely tahor. What do you mean the Mishnah says, Vaktani Yamakshar is a nida, Amarava? The Mishnah just means be made nida, nida. If this whole event occurred during the nida part of the month, then there's no exemptions for a nida, as we explained. So even if the dam was triggered by this upcoming birth, there's no exemption. Be made ziva tahor. It's only during the made ziva of the month. When we say at the leida, and the kishni that leads into the leida, discounts the tumah of the dam. Batanya. In fact, we have a brisa which supports this position. Amakshav may nida, nida. If this whole thing occurs when she's meant to be a nida, then it triggers her nida status. No discounts. But b'meziva, she's to her. Okay, it's that for example. Sunday she had kishu, and again the term kishu denotes birth pangs accompanied by dam. So that happened on Sunday. Monday and Tuesday things were quiet. No pain. Or, another example, Shekoshesa. These are all cases where she gets no discount because there was a disconnect, a pause, a significant pause between the experience of the Kishui and the Leida. So we had one example, Kishui only on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, quiet. Or Shekoshesheim, Shosei Mechad. Or Sunday, Monday, there was action, Tuesday was quiet. Or Sheshafsa, Bekoshesa, Bechadze, Bechadze. Or, who's exact? Sunday it was calm, Monday it was active, and Tuesday it was calm. And then it was followed by a birth. And all these, she gets no discount. Harezu Yiledes B'Zoiv. She's a Yiledes with Ziva together. But, Avol Shafsu Yemecha B'Kash L'Shnachim. Let's say Sunday was no pain, but Monday and Tuesday, Kishay was active. Or Shafsu Yishnachim B'Kash L'Shnachim. Or Sunday and Monday were calm, and Tuesday was active. Or Sunday was busy, Monday was calm, Tuesday was busy again, and then a birth followed. And all these, she gets that kishui exemption because the kishui led into the leida. Ein zoi, you led this b'zev. She's not considered led this b'zev because ziva does not apply. Klolo yishol davar. Here's the rule of thumb. Kishui samach leida to kishui was experienced leading into the leida. It's attributed to the birth, and she gets that discount. Ein zoi, she's not a ledes b'zev. But if it was shayfi samach leida, if the time period closest to the birth was quiet and calm, there was a pause in the action, so the dam seen previously is not attributed to the leida, and therefore reizu yledes b'zev. Chananya adds a point. Chananya ben Achir Rishoimer, the nephew of Rishoi, he says like this. He has a leniency, a kula. Koil shechol kishuya b'shlishi shava. Suppose on the third day, Tuesday, there was a kishu at the beginning of the day. For 10 minutes, she had birth pangs with them. Even if it calmed down, that day is now stamped as a day of kishu. Even if the rest of the day was quiet. And ultimately, it ended up being a 24-hour period of quiet until she gave birth somewhere in the middle of Wednesday. She's okay. She gets that exemption. Why? Because day three is, you know, the third day in the Yimei Ziva, which followed a Sunday, followed a Monday. So that is sort of the completion of the three-day series, and the whole day gets stamped as a Yayim of Kishui, a Yayim of Dam that came along with Kishui. And since part of the day was committed to Kishui, the whole day is attributed to the Kishui experience, and we don't reckon with that pause that happened during that day. Okay, Kol Shodav L'Suyemai. Now, the Braisa earlier mentioned a rule of thumb. It's an extra expression. What is it coming to address? L'Suyemai de Chanani, to address Chanani's Chiddush, to rule out Chanani's Chiddush. He holds even a partial Kishi on Thursday suffices. Tanakama says no. As soon as she stops the kishu, the clock starts counting. And if 24 hours passes until birth, it makes for that disconnect and she's tummy. Okay, back to the actual halacha, which is that an isha, during the time of ziva, expecting a birth, has dam accompanied by labor pains. She's tar. How do we know that? Where's the source in the Torah? Minonimili. Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa. Pasuk by the Zava speaks about the dam flowing out. Dam ma, her dam. naturally flowing down. Damah machmas atzma, self-generated, natural routine. V'loy machmas lada, as opposed to being generated by the upcoming birth event. That doesn't make her tummy. That's what you're saying. So you're saying that birth is something unusual. Unlike a regular oinus, you see, by a man, we say any oinus, any sort of external factor, overeating, physical exertion, but by a woman, that's not an exemption. Only birth. Why? I told him, you're insisting, Mahas Vlad, that the blood caused by Vlad is not metamid. Oh, yeah, no, perhaps any oinus would be a tar, and not on account of birth. But the Pasuk says, V'ishak yozov zayv demah. The word zayv denotes any type of flow, even on account of oinus, is metame. So what then does the pasuk mean when it says dama? Natural routine. Dama means machmas atzma, v'lo machmas batz. We learned that only a leda can provide exemption, not a regular oinus. Who says? Look, you have one pasuk which includes. One which exempts. Who's to choose? Omar Roy is, why do you prefer the tire of Sablad and the of oinus? To retire dam on account of a birth and metami on account of oinus? Says the Gemara. I'll tell you why. It's more likely, metire ni bavlad, that the dam attributed to the vlad is going to be tar. Sheish tara achra, because the fact is, birth is associated with tahara. There is you made tahara following your birth. Okay, so it's more likely to generate tahara. As opposed to a regular accident, a regular oinus, shein tarachem zot tahara, following a oinus, she sees dam, she's tummy, so it's less related to tahara, and more likely that there's no exemption there. Adarab, just the opposite, metara ni boinus, shekein oinus bezav tahara. Look, oinus is more reason to make the dam tahara. We find by a man, oinus is tahara. Hashtami b'ishak amina, but now we're looking at a woman. When there's this nashim now, v'oynes b'ishak la'ashkum, we never find oynes to be a mitigating factor by nisha. So it's not a factor at play. But you say another answer to your questions. My daitach, what's your suggestion? What are you suggesting? Tuhuri b'oynes, u'tamuyi b'blad. Blood on account of birth is tummy. On account of regular oynes is tar. I mean, give me a bigger accident, a bigger external causation. Then a vlad. There's no greater oinus than birth. That's not plausible. To say that a regular oinus exempts you, but not birth. Evidently, you have to go the other way around. Only birth exempts and not a regular oinus. Yochi nidu nami neimo. Besides the Gemara, well, if you're going to focus on the word dama, hers, routine, natural, and exempt on account of leda, because it doesn't conform to the term dama yachi, neither nami neima. Why is this limited to the time of ziva? Should we apply to the time of midah as well, where it says zayva, hers, zayva machmas atzma, v'le machmas vlad, ato ime vlad ve'en el oinus. So you're suggesting that the dam of nida on account of vlad is tar. Maybe it's on account of an oinus. Only then is it Torah. You can't say that because the word Zava indicates any flow, even oinus, makes sure neither. So that can't be exempted. Okay, if that's the case, how do we apply the term Zava? Ha'amani mekayim Zava? Evidently, it's limited to exempting Dam Nida on account of birth. Zava means Machmas Atzma, the Machmas Vlad. So back to the question, why not? Why not apply the same vlad, birth exemption, to dam nida as we do to dam ziva? Omer, shlokish, makro, have a different pasuk, a different source, which will preempt your question. Again, what are we seeking? A source that dam kishu, meaning that dam which accompanies the birth, which precedes a birth, is tar, provided it took place during the meziva. Omakro, teishayv. This is by the Yeledes, who gave birth on a keva. She observed it 66 days. Teishev al d'meitar. Teishev is an extra word. Could have done without that word. To teach us, yesh lecha yeshiva achera shikazu. I'll give you another sitting, another experience, which parallels the d'meitahara, post-birth. Meaning, dam which is tar. Dam which does not trip her. Ve'zoi zoi, which is a kosher meziva. That's when she has dam kosher during meziva. So she's tar. How do we know it's by ziva? Same question as before. Maybe it's by nida. Here comes the third source. Amakro. After the birth of Nekeva, she's tummy for 2 weeks. Kinidasa as per a nida. As per when she's tummy nida. What are we going to infer from this pasuk? That she's tummy similar to when she's a nida. Unlike when she's a ziva. She's a zava, meaning she's not going to be tummy zava. Machal de ziva satar, apparently. Her ziva is tar. So, how's that? Give me a case where the Isha can only become a Nida, not a Zava. Typically, it goes together, right? Who's that? Zukoshi Meziva. That's the Isha, that's Makasha Leilat. So she gets that exemption, provided that it relates to Ziva. Okay, so now we have a clear source. The Dam of Kisha is Torah, provided it relates to Ziva, but not regarding Nida. But now we have an extra pasuk because we had that pasuk dama, which is now unneeded, right? Now that we've discovered this new pasuk, to teach us what we're looking for, so then the extra pasuk we had before, dama, what's that for? Answer, ilav dama, if not for that pasuk, I mean, I'd mistakenly think, that this pasuk that we mentioned, to apply tuma to nida, not to ziva, afilu b'shoifi. So perhaps we exempt the isha, we relieve her of any tuma, even if there was shoifi, if there was a break in the action. Kamashma, the answer is no. Dhamma says it's her dam, and her dam is tummy as long as it's not attributed to the vlad. And even here, when she's expecting a birth, very soon after, but if there was a break in the action, it was shayfi, that makes it for a disconnection. Delinks the dam to the upcoming birth, and it's not covered by it. It's considered hers, dama, and she's tam. Okay, so in conclusion, Anisha was makasha leila, meaning she has dam accompanied by labor pains. If it's continuous and it goes into the Leda, she gets a pass, provided it's with respect to Dam Ziva. As we learn from the Pasuk, V'tamashvam kin dasa, sometimes only Nida triggers, not Ziva, like this case where it's Dam on account of a birth, provided there was no break in the action, significant break, significant pause, whether it's 24 hours or it's a night-day unit, because then you can no longer attribute the bleeding prior to birth, to the actual birth. But otherwise, if it leads straight in, she's tar. Now, we had the opinion of Rav, which was that even though min haTorah, we're not concerned about this dam, but Rav says, Nida l'yayma, the Rabbanon have to refrain that day. Do we adopt that opinion l'halacha? So we have a story, Shiloh Baravina, that was his name, about Ubla Kabasei Rav. He followed Rav's opinion, and that's how he ruled. That she's meant to refrain during the actual day of Riyah. Kinoch Navshe de Rav, and Rav passed away, so he was on his deathbed, and he wanted to clarify this point. That was on his mind. Tzadikim, this was on their mind when they passed away. Amar Leil Ravasi. So he turned to Ravasi, he says, please, make sure that people don't zild sane. Go tell Shila Baravina not to adopt this in practice, because the actual halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak that we're lenient on this. There's no reason to refrain. Viloid says, if he's not going to listen to you, if he's going to insist on maintaining his position, talk him out of it gently. Garie, like geirer, drag, like pull him in, discuss it with him. Convince him, advocate for this position, and try to win him over. Now, Ravasi misheard. Who saw he thought that it was a Dalit, Gadye? And he told him, Gadye, Amrle. Gadye is like, cut him off. come down hard on him. If he doesn't listen, excommunicate him. Cut him off. Excommunicate him. And that's what happened. After the Rav passed away, Amalei, Rav Asi, in fulfillment of his mission, went and approached Shila Barabin, and he says, I have a message from you. Amalei, Hadabach. You have to change your mind. I had to be Rav, because Rav himself backed away from his position. Amalei, so Shila wasn't accepting. He missed the other babe. He would have backed off. He would have told me, not you. Like the famous joke, they say, you know, the Rebbe passed away, left two sons who were struggling to determine who's going to be the next leader. And next morning, one of the brothers wakes up. He says, you know, my dear brother had a dream. What was the dream? My father comes to me in a dream last night. He says, I want you to take over the mantle of my Rabbanus. So the other brother says, really? I think if you would have wanted that to happen, instead of coming to you, he would have come to me and told me, let your brother take over. He wouldn't come to you. So similar to that, Shila says, look, he would have sent me a message. Knowing my position, he would have come to me or sent me a message. Miss another way, if he would have changed his mind, he wouldn't have sent you. Did they have Amr? They told me directly. Okay, so he wasn't accepting. Leitzayas, Gadi. So Rav Asi, thinking that he was supposed to, he excommunicated him. Amr Lay, so Shila was very unhappy. He tells Rav Asi, watch your step. Will Mr. Feimari not concern me to cause off my fire? Mishnah Berakhah always says you have to be extra careful, fearful of the effects of being disrespectful to a tzaddik, to Talmid Chacham. Starting with fire, Amalei, he says, I'm not concerned. Me? Ana Isi ben Yehuda. I'm Isi ben Yehuda. The who's also called Isi ben Gur Ari, lion. The Isi ben Malal, ben Gamliel. The Isi ben Malal. I'm not concerned. Asis ben Nachasha. I'm like a copper mortar to lo shalat by rikpa, which is not affected by rot. I'm not afraid of you. Amar leis, so Shila responds, no, you're starting with me. I'm Shila bar Avina buchel de parzla, iron, a metal pestle. The matbar sisad nachasha can break through, break up the your copper. Chalash Rav Asi. So in fact, Rav Asi became very ill. On account of this whole episode, Ailua Bechamime, so this fever was going from hot to cold, from cold to hot. The Marsha says it was measure for measure. The Ben Yehuda says, Amida Keneged Mida, because really he was meant to be soft and sort of cool with him, like the cold, and instead he came on, with heat, with opposition, challenged him, he put him a Mechirim. Hence this back and forth between cold and hot that he experienced. Ailuba Chamimi, the illness took him to hot. Apkumi Kariri, and out of the cold. Ailuba Kariri, and then into the cold. Apkumi Chamimi, out of the hot, back and forth. Nochnaf Shner Vasi. Vasi eventually passed away. We turn to the next element. Azal Shila, so Shila, who knew that he was the cause of Ravasi's punishment, which came as a result of putting him into Chirim. Amal Dizzi turns to his wife and says, okay, it's time to go. Tzvisli Zavdasa, prepare me my shrouds. So I don't want him going to Rav and telling on me that I got him in trouble, that I caused him to get punished. Now that he's in the Ilum Emes, he passed away, go tell Rav in Gan Eden what I did to him. So I have to go join them and straighten things out. So I'm afraid that I'm going to be punished as well. I'm going to die. Tzvisli Zavdasa, she repaired his shrouds and he passed away. Nachnavshe, the Shila. And what did they see? Chazu the Parcha Asa. They used to put a myrtle, like a good smelling, plant, a myrtle, a hadas, on the bed for a good scent, maybe as a covet. So they had the hadasim on the beds, and what did they see? Chazal the parcha also. They noticed that the hadas was picking itself up from mehai puri, from this bed, lai puri, and transferring to the other bed. Rashi says, "Vahilach mitum is going from bed to bed, back and forth." Amris, they all realize, okay, they made up, they made peace. Amris Shmamino, of the Rabban Piyasa, two Chachamim, Rabasi and Shiloh, just passed away. Now they're in a better place. They made Shalom. Tamid Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, and everything is good and well. Okay, very briefly, we had the machlokes of the Dam Tamei, Dam Toyer, whether it's Mayan Echad or Shnei Mayonis. Conclusion, Mayan Echad ben Nekul ben Nechumra. Next sugya, Makasha, Dam accompanied by birth pangs in anticipation of a birth, if it leads into the birth, she's a tar, provided that it took place during the Meziva, which is learned from the Pasuk, V'tavash Ma'eshvayim Kini Dasa. In some instances, only Nida is relevant, not Ziva, such as in this case. And the conclusion was that she's mutter, even mid-rabban. Okay, all the best to you, and much, much hatzlach.